Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
I like to write thank you notes, and it's been a bit of a hectic week. I haven't had time to finish my thank you notes, and I was just wondering if it would be okay. You know, Jimmy Fallon writes his thank you notes on Friday night. I thought of doing mine right before I do the message today. Would it be okay if I wrote my thank you notes today? Okay, all right, great. Media team, could you give me some really, you know, nice thank you note writing music? Yeah, oh, that's perfect. That's beautiful. Okay, that's good. All right, here we go. Okay. I was ready, and then you were ready. Okay, you ready? Here we go. I feel like it's Jimmy Fallon. James and I got to get in the same thing. All right, ready? Okay. Thank you, COVID-19, for the wearing of masks. I saved a lot of money on not buying Halloween costumes for my kids by having them dress up as surgeons. Thank you, Turkey, for not using the Chick-fil-A slogan, "Eat more chicken," for my Thanksgiving dinner this year. I like my turkey. I don't know about you. Thank you, hitchhikers, for looking like you just approve of everyone's cars. You know, they stand there, whether your car is dirty or rusty, or, you know, they're always giving you the thumbs up, you know. It's very affirming sometimes. So, thank you, Dallas Cowboys, for being so bad this year. You will make millions of Americans who hate watching you every Thanksgiving so happy seeing you lose. P.S. Thank you also for giving me more spare time this fall. I've only watched one whole game, and they did not disappoint. I expected them to lose, so yeah. Thank you, Wind, for helping me clean out my car. I just opened the doors on both sides in the church parking lot, and I am finished in less than 10 seconds. You know, those of you who are watching online and you're out of state, you don't understand that thank you note unless you live here in Wyoming. Last one, all right? Thank you, Jesus, that even when life is upside down, you are always right side up, and no matter what happens, you're always with me, my salvation is firm, and I'm going to heaven. I love you. All right, that's my thank you notes. Thank you for letting me do that this morning. How many know that a merry heart is good medicine? And I think this year we need all the good medicine that we can get. Are you thankful for all that Jesus has done for you? I'm so thankful for all that he's done for me. I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year, and there's a lot of traditions that our family has. Now, a tradition is defined by the dictionary as an inherited, established, or customary pattern of thought, action, or behavior. And maybe some of you have traditions. Maybe if you're watching us online today and you've got a tradition, just go ahead and type that in on the comments there, what some of your Thanksgiving traditions are. But in our family, my wife loves to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. How many are parade watchers? You're into that? There's a few of you. She loves doing that. Our dinner always consists of turkey, okay? There's kind of some staples. Some things maybe come and go every year, but the staples are turkey, mashed potatoes. My wife likes gravy. I just go with the straight butter. Stuffing, someone in her family likes the cranberries, so they always make sure cranberries are there. And then you got to top it off with pumpkin pie. That, you know, that's kind of the staples of our Thanksgiving meal. That's our tradition. Another tradition is one that I'm not sure I'm going to be doing this year. It's watching the Dallas Cowboys football game. You know, it's been a tough year. I just might skip that tradition, but. Another one is looking at the Black Friday ads. I don't know how many of you like to look at those. We look at those ads. And then in the past, my wife, she takes the morning shift. I take the kids out at night. We go up Thursday night, and we do some shopping Thursday night. And then she gets up early in the morning, and she goes out with them in the morning, those who want to go shopping. Another tradition we kind of have over the whole Thanksgiving weekend is that's the time where we kind of take down the fall decorations or at least set up the Christmas tree and try to get the Christmas tree decorated. So those are just some of our family traditions. And the reason I'm talking about traditions and Thanksgiving today is because as we look in the Bible, the Apostle Paul tells us he wants us to establish a tradition of Thanksgiving in our lives. When you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul says, "I want Thanksgiving to be an established, customary pattern of behavior in your life, that in everything you're giving thanks." Now, I've heard some people teach this verse saying that everything that happens in our life is God's will, even the horrible things. You know, they'll say things like maybe getting COVID, having someone die from COVID or in a car accident is God's will. Having your infant child die in their sleep is God's will. They say that something as horrible as being raped or molested is God's will. Losing your job is God's will, because it says in everything give thanks, for this is God's will. Now, I do not believe that these horrible things are God's will, that God planned for them to happen to us. I believe, as many Bible scholars do, that the last part of verse 18, where it says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," it refers to things that Paul started writing in verse 11 or possibly even earlier, because when you look at chapter 4, verse 3, Paul mentions God's will. He says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." Sanctification is a fancy word for being holy, for being set apart to God, "that you should abstain from sexual immorality." And in the next few verses, Paul begins to go on and he expounds on that, and he explains, if you reject this teaching about sexual purity, you're actually rejecting God. And then he goes into some bullet points and he says, this is how you're to live your life. And then he encourages the Thessalonian Christians. He says, I don't want you to be people that have no hope, that your loved ones who've died that knew Jesus, that you're never going to see them before. He said, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up in the air with them. We're going to go with Jesus up to heaven and be with Jesus forever. So he's teaching about the rapture. And then when he comes to chapter 5, he talks about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a time of God's judgment on the earth for sin, where God is going to judge the earth. And Paul says, you need to live a sober life. You need to live a holy life. And he will begin to bullet point again a list of how to live in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. And as he goes through them, he talks about you need to comfort and edify one another. You need to watch the examples of your pastors, your spiritual authorities, and highly esteem them. You need to be at peace among yourselves. And then in verse 14, I want to pick it up in verse 14. He says, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this, all of these things I've been writing about, is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's not that these bad things that happen are God's will. It's that this is how I want you to live. And here's the thing. I don't give thanks for the bad things. I give thanks in the midst of the bad things. What do I give thanks about? Why should I give thanks to God even when life goes upside down, even when bad things happen to me? And this morning, the reason that we do that, in your notes today, first of all, I for those who are big note takers, I kind of skipped a little bit. In verse 18, this is why bad things happen to us. Paul writes a list of things that are God's will for us, including giving thanks in every circumstance. Horrible things happen not because they're God's will, but because we live in a world saturated with sin and its effects. That's why bad things happen. That's why people get sick. That's why there's murder. That's why there's rape. That's why there is killing. There is drugs. There is greed. There is selfishness. There is death. Sin brought all those things in, and we live in a world that is impacted by sin. But why do we give thanks when all these bad things happen? Because a thankful life builds the best life. A thankful life builds the best life. That's why we give thanks in everything. Priscilla Schreier, she states in her Bible study, The Armor of God, thanksgiving activates peace. Anxiety is a cue to be thankful. I'm going to say that again. Thanksgiving, it activates peace. And when you and I are anxious in life, when we feel kind of this stress, this nervousness, that is a cue that we need to start giving thanks in our lives. You see, thanksgiving is tied to peace. It's tied to joy. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we'll be thankful. We'll have peace and joy. I've never seen someone who is negative, grumpy, grumbling, having peace and joy. Have you? Someone who is negative, they're down, they're depressed, they're anxious, they're complaining instead of giving thanks, they don't have joy, they don't have peace. And so joy and peace come as a result of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving activates God's peace in our lives. A person who's discontent, who's ungrateful with what they have, they're ungrateful with how things are going in their life, with where they're at this moment, they're not going to have peace. They're not going to be at rest. So thanksgiving builds the best life. How many of you want to be in God's will? Wouldn't you say being in God's will is the best life you can have? Yeah. So if you're giving thanks in everything, even the bad things, you are building the best life because you are walking in God's will. A thankful life builds the best life. Ingratitude destroys your life, while a thankful life builds the best life. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 33 in just a moment this morning. So if you'd like to turn there, go ahead and do that. And as you're flipping there or going there on your YouVersion Bible app, the question is, how do I give thanks in everything? When everything looks bad, when everything looks hopeless, how do I give thanks? And what we're going to do this Sunday and next Sunday, we're doing a mini series on Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about how to build thanks. The title of this morning's message is The Building Blocks of Thanksgiving. When I was a kid, I had this bag of wooden blocks that looked very familiar to these blocks that you see here up on the stage. How many of you had some wooden blocks that kind of looked like this? Some of you did. If you're watching online and you have blocks like that, you say, yeah, I had blocks like that. Give a thumbs up. But these blocks, when I'd play with them as a kid, I would build different things, different buildings and structures. I'd also spell words out with them, you know, spell my name or dog, cat, or whatever. Well, this morning, we're going to look at what are the building blocks of thanks, and we're going to just deal with the letter T this morning, okay? We're going to hit the rest of them next week, so you want to make sure that you come back next Sunday, same bat time, same bat channel, same bat station, okay? But this morning, as we talk about how do we build thanks in our life in every situation, the first key to building thanks is that we need to trust God. We need to trust God. Trust is essential if we are going to be thankful in every situation and build the best life God has for us. A few weeks ago, we wrapped up the series, The Land Between, where we talked about Israel and God bringing them out of Egypt, trying to bring them into the promised land, and that wilderness time, that transition time, the land between, God was trying to form them and shape them. And every time Israel had a problem, they should have trusted God, right? But what did they do? They complained. They grumbled. They weren't thankful for anything God had done. And what happened to them? That entire generation lost out on the best life. They did not enter the promised land. They all died in the wilderness because they weren't thankful, because they grumbled and complained. They did not experience the best life that God had for them. We will never truly thank God until we first truly trust God. I'm going to say that again. We will never truly thank God until we first truly trust God. Priscilla Schreier, in that Armor of God study I alluded to earlier, she says that trust fuels thanksgiving. Trust fuels thanksgiving. When you and I trust God, that is fuel, that is wood, that is gasoline to thanksgiving. We need to trust God. In Psalm 33 this morning, we're going to look at three keys that help us trust God. How do we develop this complete trust in God so that we can give thanks in everything? Well, Psalm 33, it kicks off with a person who's very thankful. It describes a thankful person. Listen to this. In verse 1, it says, "Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise Him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for Him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to Him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy." This describes a thankful person. Now in verse 4, the psalmist is going to tell us, why do we sing? Why do we have joy? Why do we praise God? It says, "For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything He does." So the first key this morning for developing complete trust in God is to rely on the power of God's word. We need to rely on the power of God's word. God's word is true, it never fails, and we can trust everything God does. So as you and I read the promises in God's word, we can claim them for ourselves. As we read the commands in God's word and the principles for living, we can trust them, we can depend upon them and say, "I'm going to do these things, even if they maybe don't make sense, even if they're difficult, even if it's going to hurt me, even if it looks like it's a negative thing, I'm going to obey God because God's word is reliable. It's true. I can trust the word of God." We can pattern our lives after the word, knowing that we're building on a foundation of rock. As Jesus told the story, the parable of there was two men, a wise man and a foolish man, and the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down, but the man whose house was built on the rock stood firm. When you don't build on the rock, it's like you're building on sand, and when the storms of life hit you, your life will crumble. And so you can build your life on God's word. To show the power of God's word, the psalmist, he's going to give a few illustrations just about how powerful God's word is. Look at verse 6. It says, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born." You know, we tend to just read these words and gloss over them, but as you think about the immensity of the universe, and then God just created all of that with merely a word. That's powerful. On National Public Radio, there is a segment called Stardate, and they said that astronomers are discovering vast regions of space that are completely empty. One such space is 1 billion light years across. All right? That is 10 times greater than our Milky Way galaxy. And there are billions of huge galaxies just like the Milky Way. And when you see the immensity of the universe and God just spoke it and the stars were born, that's the power of God's word. And that same word that created the world, when God spoke the word through holy men and women, when God spoke the word, that power that created the universe is in his word and it can change our lives. That's powerful. You and I need to be people in the Word. The psalmist goes to talk about the oceans when he says in verse 7, he assigned the sea its boundaries and he locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Now, the psalmist, the only ocean he'd probably seen was the Mediterranean Sea or the Red Sea at the Gulf of Aqaba, all right? Those are the only two. He had never seen the Atlantic Ocean or the Indian Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. So he doesn't even see the entire ocean, and he's talking about the vastness of the sea. My wife and I, we were fortunate when we were youth pastors. We won a free trip to Hawaii. We were just starting out in ministry. We got to go to Hawaii, and we flew across the Pacific Ocean. And as we did, it was like, this thing is big. You realize the Pacific Ocean is 64 million square miles? At an average depth of 14,000 feet, with its greatest depth at 36,000 feet. Friends, that is huge. And the psalmist describes them. He says, God puts them in a reservoir. That word reservoir refers to a storehouse, a barn that a farmer would gather up. He'd heap up all his grain, and he would just store up all of the grain into his barn. And what it's describing, not just the Mediterranean Sea, but all the oceans of the world, that the oceans cover two-thirds of the Earth's surface. At 14,000 feet, God just gathers them all up and throws them in his barn. That's how easy. And how did he do it? With his word. That's the power of the word of God in our lives. We need to be people that are regularly bringing God's word into our life, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is essential to building trust that builds a life of thanksgiving. Recently, I was talking with someone who shared that they had gotten away from their regular quiet time of being in the word and praying, and they read a journal from a few months back when they were taking regular time in the Word and being with God. And this person said they were just blown away by the depth of revelation and the condition of their spiritual life. And as they compared back then to where they were now, at how far apart they were. But here's the thing. Back when they wrote in that journal and they were reading and spending that regular time with God, they didn't really feel like anything was happening. They didn't feel they were growing. They didn't feel it mattered much. But now that they've gotten away from it, they realize how much God's word was powerful and it was building their life in the Lord. And there may be times, there may be some of you, and maybe you're watching even online, and you're taking time with God and you feel it's useless, it's not doing good. It does matter. I want you to know, keep praying, keep being in the Word, because as the Old Testament says, it's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. As you and I are reading God's Word, saying, Lord, speak to me. He speaks words of encouragement, words of comfort, words of peace, words of wisdom. He speaks words of greatness, words of correction and challenge, words that build us up, words of strength, words of peace, words of joy. And what happens is we keep stacking on God's word in our daily life, day after day after day after day after day after day. All of a sudden, if you look back and you compare where you once were, because of that regular practice, that regular pattern of spending time in God's presence with his powerful word, that birthed the stars and that contains the oceans, he's going to start working in your life. Get into the Word of God. It will build trust, which will help you and I to build a thankful life, which is the best life. So that's the first key, is we need to spend time in the Word and rely on the power of God's Word to change us. That's key number one. Number two, the second key to developing complete trust in God is to depend upon God for all that we have. Depend upon God for all that we have. If I believe that my abilities, my success, that my health and my wealth come from me, that I am the source, that I cause all of this to happen, then I am not going to give thanks to God for my abilities, my success, and my health and my wealth. Because why? I don't need God. I'm doing this on my own. I don't recognize that God is my source. A story is told about a newly elected politician. He goes to Washington, D.C. He's invited over to a high-ranking senator's house, and they're out in the back kind of patio of the senator's home, and the Potomac River is just flowing on by, and there is a log floating on there, and the senator says, you know, this town is a lot like that log out there. And the rookie congressman says, well, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, there are dozens, maybe even hundreds of ants and spiders and other critters just squirming and worming all around on that log, and they all think that they're steering the log. And that's how the politicians are in town. They all think they're steering the log. Friends, I know a lot of people who think they're steering the log of their life. They're in charge. I am the one calling the shots. I am determining my success, my abilities, my contacts, my business acumen. I am the one who's responsible for my health and my wealth. We need to realize that we are not in charge. God is in charge. We see this when the psalmist writes in verse 10, "The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken." You know, kings make their plans. They think, this is my battle strategy. This is my wisdom. This is what's going to set up my empire. But it's God who sets up his empire. There's so many times we just depend upon ourselves. By nature, we are not trusting creatures. We're creatures of necessity. We trust God when we're forced to trust him because our problems are too big for us to solve. When our problems are beyond our abilities, then we'll go to God. But the rest of the time, I'm just fine doing it myself. I don't really need God if I can handle this, if I can solve the problem by myself. We don't resort to prayer. We don't resort to trusting God. We do it because we're trusting in ourselves and our efforts and our energy. Only when we come to the end of ourselves do we realize how much we need God, and that's when we begin to trust him. And I pray for us to be people that don't have to come to the end of our rope. What we need to do is we need to begin to depend upon God for this day. Depend upon God, students. When you go to school, when you're studying, when you have tests, when you're facing problems, depend upon God for this day. When you go to work, depend upon God to accomplish what you need to at work. In ministry, I need to depend upon God to accomplish what I need to do as pastor and leader of Radius Church. We all need to depend upon God. It's so easy to go through our day without saying, Lord, I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. I want you to speak to me. Help me. Navigate for me. It is essential that we have just this attitude of dependence upon God and not try to do it ourselves. It goes on to say in verse 16 of Psalm 33, "The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all of its strength, it cannot save you. You know, even as redeemed children of God, our natural tendency is to perfect our methods and our strategies, and then we trust upon them. And we live in a day that is full of techniques and methods, and there's techniques and methods on how to live the Christian life, how to have a happy family, how to have a strong marriage, how to build a successful church, and many of these methods are built upon God's word and they're good, but this is the danger we have, friends, when we trust in the method as a formula instead of trusting God as our Father who's in charge. We want life to be wrapped up in a formula so we can do it by ourselves instead of having a relationship with our Father who's in charge and He is telling us what to do as His children and guiding us. Don't let formulas guide you. Let the Father guide you. Don't let methods be what you depend on. Depend upon the Master. This week I was reading in John chapter 2 and it hit me. Jesus, He turns the water into wine. And if you remember the story, they drank the wine and they said, "Wow! Most people put out the good stuff first, and then when everyone's had a little bit to drink and they're not fully aware, then they bring out the bad stuff, but you've done the reverse. You've brought out the best stuff for now." Now, you and I know where the best stuff came from. It didn't come from any man. It came from Jesus. And this is what I sense God saying to me when I read that verse. Craig, your best efforts don't come anywhere near the work that I do. You need me to be working in your life in every detail of every day. You need to depend upon me for all that you have. You need to depend upon me for all that you are. And so we need to be a people that are in this constant state of trusting God, depending upon Him, not trying to live life in our own energy where we forget about Him. That's the second key, all right? Depending upon God for all that we are, all that we have. Okay, there's a third and final step for completely trusting God, and it's found in verse 18, and that is rely on God's unfailing love. It says, "The Lord watches over those who fear Him, those who rely on His unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in You alone." You know, at the beginning of the message, I talked about traditions, and one of the traditions we have during the holidays is watch classical Christmas movies. It's A Wonderful Life, White Christmas, those kind of things. But one of my favorites is Holiday Inn with Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. And in the movie, Bing found this lady who became kind of part of his show that he was doing, and Fred Astaire comes along New Year's Eve, and he had a little too much to drink, and he starts dancing with her. And here's the thing. Bing was engaged to another lady, and Fred stole his bride about a year before. And as Fred's dancing with his new partner, he's really concerned he's going to lose her, so he resorts to all sorts of methods and deception to try to keep her, not let her hook up as a dancing partner with Fred, because Fred could not remember who the girl was. And so, after this deception, Bing Crosby actually loses the girl, and she goes off to Hollywood with Fred to do a movie. And he's sitting home at Thanksgiving with this big table of food, and he puts on this record because Hollywood wanted to make a story of kind of the experience of the Holiday Inn that Bing had created. And it's playing this song, "I've got a lot to be thankful for. And then it goes on and lists all these things to be thankful for. And Bing's sitting at his table saying, yeah, your nose is too big, your ears are too big, you got nothing to be thankful for. He's miserable. He has no hope. He lost hope, and because of that, he wasn't thankful. Friends, the psalmist says, we hope in the Lord. Our hope isn't in our circumstances, that everything is working out the way we want it to. And that's why we can give thanks in every circumstance, because our hope is not in the circumstance. The hope is not in health, wealth, prosperity, whatever we're doing. Our hope is in the Lord. We can trust God in everything. Trust is the building block to give us a thankful life, building the best life. We need to trust God and His unfailing love. His love never fails. Jesus was on the cross, and we're told that He could have called a legion of angels. He wanted to call a legion of angels. He was praying before in the garden, Father, I don't want to die on the cross. But nevertheless, if there's no other way to accomplish the redemption of man, I will drink this cup. And friends, if you and I can depend upon Jesus for our eternal welfare, then you and I can depend upon Jesus for our earthly welfare. You see, when we receive Christ, when we put our trust in Him, because we can't work our way to heaven, we can't depend upon our own works, we have to trust in the work that Jesus did to forgive us of our sin. When we put our faith in that, we become sons and daughters of God. He writes our names in the book of life, and we go to heaven. We're going to live with Him forever. When we die, we do not face what the world faces, an eternity of eternal fire and damnation in hell. We can trust God for our eternal future, and we can trust God right now for our earthly future. So you can give thanks for God's unfailing love, for His word that'll make you strong so that you can walk through the fire. You can go through the ocean. Whatever it is you're facing, God will help you ride out the storm. If you're building your life on the rock, you will not fall. You will stand. You can trust God. Let's give Him thanks this morning. God, I thank You right now for all that You've done for us. Thank You for sending Jesus today. Jesus, Your love is unfailing. Jesus, You are with us till the end of the earth. You gave us that promise, and Your word is secure. Your word is certain, and we thank You so much for that today. Father God, there are circumstances represented in this room this morning, and there are lives who are watching online right now that are going through difficult things. Father God, all of us can put our trust into You. Whatever the circumstance is, You are the God of hope. And I pray today You would give people hope. This morning, what is God speaking to you about trust in your life? Is there a circumstance that you need to trust God for? Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a health situation, a family situation. Maybe it's something personal that you're going through on your own and nobody knows about it. Maybe even something that it's something that happened many years ago and it just keeps coming back. Satan keeps replaying it in your mind, and you're having this struggle. Friends, you can trust God in every circumstance. And you can thank God He's with you in that circumstance right now. Verse 19, it says that He rescues them from death. He keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. Maybe some of you feel like you're in a famine. Maybe some of you feel spiritually dead. You've been reading the Bible. You've been going to church. You've been listening online. You've been taking time with God, and you're not getting anything. You feel you're going nowhere. Friends, He rescues you from death. He is your hope. You can trust in Him. If there's something this morning you need to let God take control of and be in charge, you need to trust Him with, I just want you to lift your hand today. You just say, God, I'm lifting my hand as a symbol. I'm lifting this circumstance up to You, and I'm going to trust You with it. I'm not going to be anxious anymore. Anxiousness is a cue that I need to be thankful, and if I need to be thankful, I need to trust. So I'm lifting my hands. God, You're in charge. Lord, I thank You for every hand that is raised. I pray that Your peace would begin to settle upon them right now. God, that Your hope and Your joy. Friend, I want you to begin to thank God that He's with you, that He's never left you, He's never forsaken you, that He's there with you in the midst of the trial. I want you to begin to thank Him right now. Jesus, we thank You for Your unfailing love, that we can trust You with our earthly future and our eternal future. Thank You, Jesus. We praise You today. You're an awesome God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You, Father. There's maybe some of you this morning, you need to get into His Word, and you have felt for a long time His Word isn't doing anything. Your time with Him, but you'd say this morning, Craig, I don't care what I feel like. I'm going to begin to build my life on the Word. I'm going to let the Word build faith. I'm going to trust God that He's going to strengthen me. If you need to make a commitment to get back into His presence and back in His Word, just lift your hand up this morning. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you for your honesty. That takes courage to admit that. Last of all, there are some of you here today, and you're steering the log on your own. You're not a Christian. Or maybe you were a follower of Jesus at one time, but you've kind of taken back the steering wheel, and you think you're steering the log, and you're the one in charge. And you realize this morning that you need to surrender your life to God, that you have sinned. You've gone your own way. And you need God to forgive you, and you need Jesus to be your leader. If that's you this morning, or if you're watching online, right now, wherever you're at, I just want you to raise your hand. Just put your hand up and say, I need to become a Christian. I need to rededicate my life to Christ. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I need to trust Him to save me from my sin. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning, just put your hand up, and you can put it back down. Anyone else today? I'm going to repeat this prayer. I'm going to say this prayer, and I'd like you to repeat it after me. And just take the parts that apply to your life as they relate to you. All right? Let's pray. Father God, You love me and gave Your Son Jesus to die for my sin. I have done wrong. I need Your forgiveness and Your leadership. I give up control. I'm letting You steer my life. I put every circumstance in Your control. I depend upon You. Help me. Rescue me. Protect me. Give me victory. I trust You to work out everything. Thank You, Jesus, for everything You have done. I will give thanks in every circumstance. Amen. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.